Keep your big, bright, beautiful world. I'm happy where I am, all alone. I got all I need, so read the stinking sign. Keep your big, bright, beautiful world.
I party on Shrek, the prickly green ogre from the William Steig picture book of the same name, is starred in 3 feature films, with 2 more on the way. Many video games, and he also has his very own Broadway show. And David Lindsay-Abaire and Janine Tesori helped put him on the stage. Mr. Lindsay-Abaire, who wrote the book and lyrics for the Broadway musical, had previously won Pulitzer Prize for drama in 2007 for his play Rabbit Hole. Mr. Tesori, the composer, has written 3 Tony-nominated scores for Broadway, Twelfth Night, Thoroughly Modern Millie, and Caroline or Change. And there's a lot of other stuff that both of them have done. Excuse me, I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today. Hi.
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 Wasn't Shrek a bit of a departure from your previous work? I'm talking to both of you in this case. You want to begin, Janine? Or?
Yeah, I tend to go for darker material, but I also I really loved the first movie, and I think when David as well, our response to it was from the Steig book itself, and the heart and the wit of this particular writer, all of his New Yorker material as well, has always stayed with me and was what I responded to. So I think it has some dark undertones, and I responded immediately to that, and I think you did too, David.
Had you ever written the book and lyrics for a musical before?
Certainly not the lyrics. No, I did the book for High Fidelity with Tom Kitt and Amanda Green, but I didn't. This is the first time that I worked on musical with doing the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. How did you wind up, the two of you, involved in this project?
I was
Craigslist.
I think I was approached first. It was Sam Mendes's idea. He approached Jeffrey Katzenberg at DreamWorks and said, "What do you think about doing a musical of Shrek?" And Jeffrey was like, "Sure, you put it together." And Sam had actually been one of the producers on my play Fuddy Mears when it was on the West End, and so that's how I knew Sam. And you know, obviously it's a departure from Rabbit Hole, which is a very serious drama, but my plays before that were whimsical comedies.
And your collaborations in the past, Janine, Tony Kushner for Caroline, Dick Scanlon for Thoroughly Modern Millie, William Shakespeare for Twelfth Night.
Yes, he was. He was a great collaborator. Lots of notes.
Was this different because David has never written the lyrics to a songs before?
You know, once we discussed form, and I love working with playwrights because there's such a great sense of story, and David has a very musical ear. I mean, Fuddy Mears alone, there you can tell that he has a musical dynamic and dialogue, and that's what I listen for. And so I think it naturally comes that if something is already in meter, and I knew that he would have a great sense of rhyme, and he's funny. And so it was very clear when I said to him, "I know that you can do this." It wasn't because I was trying to cheerlead. It was because I was very sure.
And were you as sure, David?
I was.
That one class at the new school.
I was more hopeful than sure. Certainly, I've been obsessed with words for a long time, and I was very eager to take on the task.
Well, what are the challenges of adapting such a popular movie for the stage? People go in having already knowing an awful lot about the material.
Yeah.
And you're changing it as well. You went back
right
to the Steig book in some cases, didn't you?
We did. I mean, it was the biggest thing we had to overcome was our own ideas about the book and the movie and bringing ourselves to the material. You know, DreamWorks was very clear early on that they didn't want to just put the movie on stage, that, you know, people can go out and rent the video if they want to do that. And so they encouraged us at every turn to make it our own and dig deeper and dramatize things that weren't in the movie.
Well, there are many different ways you can go about it. You can do the sort of thing that we saw with The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you didn't do that.
No.
And you even gave us a little backstory.
A lot of backstory, yeah.
Not only for Shrek, but also
Lord Farquaad, mm-hmm, and Princess Fiona.
Well, I think that makes you invest in a character when you're dealing in the theater and metaphor, and you really want people to be able to, you know, really live with them and also live with their past, because you can do that and you can put the present and the future and the past together on stage, like we do with the Fionas when she's smaller and then middle and large size.
We have 3 different Fionas in
this
show.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is not your only Shrek, is it, Janine? You did Shrek the Third, didn't you?
David and I actually wrote special material for that. And
Were you working on it at the same time you were doing the play?
Yeah, they
were.
Approached us because obviously we were working on Shrek the Musical. They said, well, you know, we need a couple songs in the movie. Do you guys have any interest in this? And of course we did, yeah.
Mm. Did one influence the other? Will I recognize a style here?
Have we influenced each other?
No. Shrek Third.
Sound familiar in some ways?
It was so specific to what they were doing because it was a show within a show kind of.
They were sending up a Broadway show in that scene with Prince Charming, and that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Now, one of the problems here is that you're writing something that has to appeal both to kids and to adults. You're nodding your head, Janine.
Yes.
I'm sure that's a major challenge, isn't it?
Yes. I think that David and I have a very similar – unfortunately, we really laugh at very physical humor. So when odd things happen to people on the streets of New York, we can't help it. And I think there's just the Three Stooges kind of physical comedy that really makes me giggle.
But I think it's also what drew us to the source material, both the Steig book and the movie – works on two levels. Of course, kids love it, but at the same time, there's this naughty humor in it that appeals to adults, and I don't think we would have done the musical if that wasn't retained.
Well, you've also said that in some ways you drew upon your school days as a scholarship student at Milton Academy, the boarding school, when you were writing for Shrek. Now, I don't see the similarities there.
Well, I think that was in reference to how is this similar to my other plays, and certainly everything I've ever written is about an outsider in search of clarity and trying to figure out how they fit in the world. And Shrek is very much about that.
In musicals today, the songs really have to further the story, I guess. When did that begin, with Rodgers and Hammerstein?
You know, it's in the beginning with vaudeville, the songs themselves were simpler in their form, AAB. And then along with Rodgers and Hammerstein, there was, and then of course Sondheim, who furthered it, there was this sense that theater songs travel dramatically, so that a character, either you invest in the rhythm or you let the audience laugh, but there is a purpose for the songs, and they really incorporated what playwrights were doing in with what the musical form was doing. And, you know, that's what really inspires me. And I think we used a lot of that in Shrek as well. When do you need to just be funny, and when do you need to really have the audience understand what's happening with this character?
How much did it change on as it was developed before it finally wound up on
We have so much pie crust left over.
It's changed a lot. I mean,
there used to be these movies about how shows would change, and at the last minute there'd be this crisis. They got a bad review in Boston.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Sure it does.
Well, there's no privacy anymore. That is for sure.
Yeah.
That has changed. You can't hide anymore, no matter where you go. When you used to go out of town, that used to be out of sight, out of mind, and now you just are at a different location.
It's also, you don't know how and why the show works until you put it in front of an audience. Things that you think are crackling don't come to life sometimes,
right,
and you have to act very quickly to fix it.
Well, you also have to include a certain amount of pop culture in jokes, and the ones that were in the movie, some of them no longer apply.
Yeah.
Well, so you have to be aware of what's going on in the pop culture?
Indeed. In fact, the show is still changing. We put in a line a couple weeks ago about swine flu, just because.
Swine flu?
Yeah, just a Pinocchio.
Pine flu.
Pine flu. It's not a great joke, but it's in there.
So you're keeping up with it while you're doing your other projects?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you have friends and visitors who want a backstage tour, you go and you watch the show, and it's good to keep the pulse, you know.
Hmm. Also, you know, a show is it is like a child, and I started playing in the pit when I was 19, and I was amazed at how it really is an ongoing process. You
what
can't
were you
just
playing?
Leave it.
What were you playing?
I started doing Big River, and
playing what instrument?
The piano.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I trained and did an off-Broadway show. And
so that's interesting, because I don't know of any other, maybe other musical composers started off that way. But it would make sense that if you actually are part of somebody else's musical and see how the whole thing is put together, it would give you a lot of insight into how to proceed for yourself.
That was a common route to start in the mailroom, for like Julie Stein did when he was a kid. He played in those vaudeville houses, and he had some interesting gigs. John Kander did the dance music for Gypsy. And there were a lot of, Marvin Hamlisch was a dance pianist and a rehearsal pianist, so a lot of us, I'd say us, they started in a very similar way. And you understand what the mechanics are, and then, and you think to yourself, I could do it better. You have this kind of beautiful arrogance, and then when your time comes, you find how hard it is to do it.
But meanwhile, it's what you've been doing for a while now.
Yeah, so. I have no talent to do anything else. It's clear.
The musical better survive or else you're in trouble, Janine.
I'm going to make sure it does. Man, David.
What about you, David? You won the Pulitzer for Rabbit Hole. But that's not something that could be made into a musical, if I remember it correctly.
Rabbit Hole, no. That was no, perhaps an opera. Perhaps an opera, but I can't imagine it's a musical.
What's happened to Rabbit Hole?
Rabbit Hole is, tonight it will be finishing its filming. It's shooting in New York at this very moment and finishes tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it stars Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart and Diane Wiest.
Mm. Well, it is definitely an actor's script. I don't know how the film compares to the play, but I remember being overwhelmed by all the acting, especially Cynthia Nixon, who was just amazing in it.
Yeah.
So that has to be thrilling in the case of a drama, having actors take your lines and give all sorts of profundity to it that you don't even realize are there. And the same thing has to apply with a musical, I would think, because you have a wonderful cast for Shrek, and they just take these songs and go to town with them.
Well, when you cast actors too, that can do, you know, Brian D'Arcy James is amazing talent, and he can do a play just as his career, as does, you know, Sutton Foster just did a reading for Tony Kushner a couple of weeks ago, and Chris Sieber, Daniel Breaker, they have the chops to be able to further your work and be able to sing it well, and that's the beauty of casting someone so they can also make comments to say, I don't know, this is actor gymnastics, if we have to do this right here, and then David and I would. They become collaborators. They in terms of, here's the location where I'm having trouble.
Was the dragon also a collaborator? Because I understand its role has changed.
Yes, it started when we first imagined that we were trying to take theatrical conventions like the anger of a. I'm very taken by girl groups and women, and I do a lot of gospel. And so a group of women singing, there's nothing more ferocious than a group of women belting. And I thought, well, what if we take that and further that, and we can do a contraption and have many voices instead of one? And that's when we came up with that.
Are you working on something else?
I am. David and I are writing something. I'm waiting for him.
Oh, so this collaboration has become a regular thing. That's great.
I'm moving in with him. I'll have to tell his wife, Chris.
Am I lucky to have you? More musicals ahead.
Meanwhile, Shrek is still on an open run?
Yes.
Yes.
And my great thanks to David Lindsay-Aubert, who wrote the book and lyrics, and Janine Tesori, who wrote the music for Shrek the Musical. Now at the Broadway Theater on Broadway and 54th Street. Thank you so much.
This
is
53rd.
53rd.
53rd Street.
You're moving.
Well, I remember walking up there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.